Enoch this evening. And there are only about 9 verses in the Bible telling us all the details about Enoch. The whole biography from the Spirit's pen is given to us in 9 verses. But what a lot the Spirit has packed into these verses. Well, let's read the 9 and then we'll get into the details. Look at Genesis chapter 5, please. Book of Genesis, chapter 5. Verse 21, Genesis 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then you'll find a great verse in Hebrews chapter 11, please. The letter to the Hebrews, and it is the 11th verse, the 5th verse. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And you'll find another word or two about him in the literal epistle of Jude, just before the book of Revelation there. Jude, there's just one chapter, and it's verse 15, verse 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And I think if we number up these verses, you will find that the whole biography of this man is given to us in about 9 verses in the Scriptures. And yet, although we have only 9 verses, we're going to find that we have a unique man before us. You see, Enoch was the first man. And there are so many things that he did first of all. You see, he's the first man recorded in this book that walked with God. Not another one before him. He's the first man. And it's recorded that he walked with God. And we shall take time this evening to just find out exactly what that meant. But he was the first man recorded in this book that walked with God. And then he's the first man in this book that hath this testimony that he pleased God. And that's a big thing. And we need to take time about that too, just to see exactly what that means. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And then he's the first man in this book, the first man on this planet, that missed death. He didn't die. He was translated. He's the first man that was translated. But there are four things that he's first in. Yes, he was the first man to have this record made of him that he walked with God. First man to hold this testimony that he pleased God. First man to miss death, and the first man to be translated. Oh, but there are three more firsts to go. And as I look through the commentaries, I find they all list these four. But I find they miss the other three. There are seven firsts here. You see, he was the first prophet on this planet. When we were reading way back in Jude there, this is what we read. Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied. And you will find that all the men that went before him, you take Adam, and you take Seth, and you look at each one that comes down, and Enoch was the seventh. You will find he was the first prophet on this planet of ours. Oh, but there's something more wonderful. He was the first preacher that preached about the Lord's coming. Yes, let me read it to you again. It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. He was talking to the crowd that was around him. He was saying, behold. Talking to an ungodly crowd too. And he was saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And there's something more. You see, he walked with God, that's one. And he pleased God, that's two. And he missed death, that's three. And he was translated wonderfully, miraculously translated, that's four. He was the first prophet. He was the first man to preach of the Lord's coming. Oh, but he was the first man to preach of the Lord's vengeance. Because he says, the Lord cometh to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly of their ungodly deeds. And you'll find that he's quite a unique character. Let me say, while we can say these seven unique things about him, which makes him very unique indeed, remember, he was not a nation builder like Abraham, neither was he a mighty leader like Moses, neither was he a warrior like Gideon. Neither was he a prime minister like Daniel. As far as I can see, and as far as I can look into this biography given to us by the Spirit of God, he was just a common country 5'8". Oh, but a very unique man, just to say. And I think we are going to learn lessons from him this evening. That real ordinary countrymen can walk with God. That's what we're out to learn this evening, and we'll have to watch him as God put him in the school. And I want to just emphasize this little bit before we get away from these unique things, that he walked with God for 300 years. And that's something worth talking about. And when we get down to see what it meant, you'll just see what a mighty statement that is. Mrs. Hudson Taylor, when she was dying, turned to her husband, who was a mighty man of God, and she said to him, darling, for the past 10 years I have lived with the Lord without a cloud. Pretty big statement, you know. And from all who knew her intimately, it was a very truthful statement. I don't know that if you know that Spurgeon said this just before he died. I wrote it down here. He said, "For many years I have not known to be out of fellowship with the Lord for more than 15 minutes." That's my statement. We need to think very carefully this evening about walking continually and unceasingly with God. And we're going to look at this unique character this evening, and we're going to look at his birth first of all, and we're back to Genesis chapter 5. We've already been told that he was the seventh from Adam. Now, I know quite well there are quite a lot of arguments about that. I know all the arguments that are brought against that, and I've seen them. And I don't believe them at all. I've seen booklets written on this, that he is not the seventh. I don't understand men arguing with God's word. If God's word says he was the seventh from Adam, then surely a plain statement like that ought to be accepted. But they have argued. They have written booklets. Well, we'll not take the time to write a booklet. Let's do it for ourselves. We're at Genesis chapter 5. And this is the book of the generations of Adam. And that's a very lovely statement. In the day that God created man. And mind you, God created him. Just in case there's somebody here ready to argue, he was not evolved. He was created. And let me say, he was created in a particular day. Because if it is creation, it doesn't spread out, you know. God created man on the sixth day. Yes, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. Now, that's he's first, isn't it? And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. We bypass Cain and Abel, and we come to Seth, and he's number two, isn't he? And verse 6 says, Seth, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Don't mix that up with Enoch, because Adam is first, and Seth is second, and Enos is third. And Enos lived, verse 9, 90 years and begat Canaan, is the word. And he's number 4. Verse 12 says Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel, and he's number 5. Verse 15 says, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And verse 18 says, and Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And there's your seven. Adam, and Seth, and Enos, and Canaan, and Mahalalel, and Jared, and Enoch is number 7. And I don't know where the argument comes in at all. I've never been able to associate myself with any doubts here at all. He was the seventh from Adam, all right. So the Bible says, whether I could find it or not doesn't matter. Now, you can see that Jared was his father. Now, the names here are very wonderful. I suppose I can fill the next hour in with the names, and I don't want to do that because the subject is Enoch. The word Jared means descendant. Now hold on to that and just try to get that into your mind. And if you go back still further, you will find that Mahalalel is Jared's father. We'll just take these three. We'll take verse 12, that Mahalalel, or verse 15, Mahalalel begat Jared. And we'll take verse 18, Jared lived so long and begat Enoch. And we'll take Mahalalel and Jared and Enoch. Now, Mahalalel's a very interesting name. You can see at a glance it ends in E-L. And whatever name you get in the Old Testament ending in E-L, it has something to do with God. Because E-L is from the old Hebrew Elohim, and it means God. You'll find that Bethel, you remember we did this one evening, Bethel means, Beth means the house, and E-L means God, it means the house of God. And we don't want to waste time with this. You know that Emmanuel, and you know that one on your own, that E-L means God. It means God with us. And you've got so many. You've got Daniel and Ezekiel. And you remember we went into this when we were doing Ezekiel. Well, this word, Mahalalel, it means God is splendor. And I believe that this man, Mahalalel, he was taken up with the splendor of God. I think these words teach us things. Now, he had a son that didn't follow him. Because his son was Jared. And his name means descendant. It seems as if he was so proud. He was looking back. He was descended from Adam. I think the one was taken up with God and the other was taken up with man. But when Enoch came on the scene, that's a different word altogether. That means tutored. I believe he was tutored, this one that we're looking at. He was tutored to turn away from man and get back to God. I think there's a whole thing. If we went on up through the names, I think it would thrill you. But that's not what I'm supposed to be doing this evening. And I have plenty of material there if I wanted to waste the time. But I don't want to waste the time. I just want you to see Enoch's birth. He was the seventh from Adam. His father's name was Jared, which means descendant. And he lived for 365 years. Now, I want you to see, secondly, Enoch's world, the world that he was born into. Oh, I know it's always the same planet. But there are times down through history when the world has been more wicked than at other times. Now, you can see that he's born in Genesis chapter 5. And you know that Genesis chapter 6 is the chapter where man became so wicked that God had to destroy this world. Let's go into chapter 6 just for a moment. See verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I want you to watch the word wickedness. And I want you to watch the word great. It was great wickedness. Man was very wicked. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And how often in the 25 years that's passed, I have tried to underline only evil continually. My, if every thought that passed through your mind was only evil continually, what a wicked man you would be. Oh, but I beg your pardon, the whole world was like that. Here was a world of men and women and boys and girls, and every thought was only evil continually. A holy God could do nothing else with a world like that, only destroy it. Had he tried to go on with it, he wouldn't be the holy and the just God he's supposed to be. Yes, this is the world that he was born into. It was a wicked world. Let's get the hold of this. And in case you're still in doubt about the thing, just let's go back to Jude and have a look at what he said there. Is just let's get the hold of that very carefully. And we're at Jude and we're at that 15th verse. Now mark every time you get the word ungodly here. He's prophesying to this crowd that's around him, behold the Lord cometh with 10,000s of the saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So if you take the words ungodly sinners, and then you take the words ungodly deeds, these ungodly sinners were committing ungodly deeds. But they were committing them in an ungodly way, which they have ungodly committed. Oh, you know, this is nearly getting beyond us. Ungodly sinners committing ungodly deeds in an ungodly way. It was an ungodly, wicked, sinful world that he was born into. Make no mistakes about it. Because we've got to have this settled just now. Yes, God just picked Noah out and told him all about the ark. And what a world it was. God came in judgment upon that world. Now let me say this, that our Lord Jesus Christ stood up and said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I can tell you that the world around us tonight is a wicked, ungodly, sinful world. You see, if we only knew, we don't know. Thank God we're ignorant. But if we only knew the inventions that Russia and America have invented for destroying one another, we would hardly sit in these seats. We don't know. We don't know at all. See this bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima so long ago, 1945 I think it was. And you know, it staggered the world at that time. It blasted so much all at once, and countless thousands were burned into a cinder in a second. And Japan just gave in and surrendered in a moment. They were afraid of it coming again. Ah, well, that's like a squib that we fellows are playing with according to the things they've invented now. It's obsolete tonight. Doesn't it count now? They have things invented now can blister this whole world in a split second. They're afraid themselves now. And what's more, they don't know that once they set it loose, that it'll get out of control in the atmosphere and bring down the heavens on their heads. Yes, it's a wicked world. But then if we knew the immoral wickedness that's in the world tonight, and you can go home and thank God you're ignorant of it, and I hope you never get to know. But God sees it. God sees it. And when you think that the scientists are fiddling about now to make babies whatever size and shape they want. Oh, if we go into all the things that's on the planet tonight, I don't think I'll have any bother in proving that we're in a wicked world. In fact, I think it's at the place where God can't go on with it much longer. I believe our Lord Jesus must come. And I believe he must come very soon. But I want to say this, that in that wicked world, in that day, with all its ungodliness like a flood tide all over it, there was a man that walked with God. It is possible, you know. Just let's learn this evening, if we can learn anything. And he did, you know. So I want you to see Enoch's birth, and I want you to see Enoch's world. And then I want you to see Enoch's son. Let's go back to Genesis. We're at Genesis 5. I think we must be very careful here. We need to look into the word very closely here. Now please try to look at this closely. We're at Genesis 5 verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years. Now don't race on, please don't race on. He's a man now of 65 years of age. And begat Methuselah. This is his firstborn son. Now I want you to notice that the moment the child was born, something took place in this fellow's life. Yes, I think it was a crisis in his life. It says that he lived 65 years. And it doesn't say a thing about those 65 years about him walking with God or knowing God or anything like that. Not a bit of it. I don't know what he did, doesn't say. But it says Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. 300 years. Something happened when the kid was born. Yes, it was a mighty moment. It was a crisis. Now, the word Methuselah means this. It means when he shall die, it shall come to pass. It's a big long word, and it means when he shall die, it shall come to pass. Now, when you think that Enoch's whole life was changed, and he walked with God, and he pleased God, and he trusted God after the child was born, what sort of a crisis took place here? It seems to me that God came in at the birth of this child, and God revealed to this man, this ordinary countryman, God revealed to him that he was going to destroy the world. And he told him when it would happen. He says, "You see this wee baby I've given you? Well, when he shall die, it shall come to pass." God just said Methuselah. And he knew exactly what it meant. But that changed him a bit. It was a mighty moment of crisis, wasn't it? Yes, it seems that this revelation came. And that day he had a revelation of the coming flood and the coming judgment. And as long as this child would live, this judgment would be kept back. And surely this proves the goodness and the grace of God, because this child lived longer than anybody else. This child was the oldest man that ever lived when he died. 969 years, and that must have been just the goodness and the grace of God. God waited and waited and waited. Yes. Never mind about the age of Methuselah. Never mind about the grace and the goodness of God. You know, Enoch is the one we're thinking about. And he got the message. And the message changed him. And from that day, after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God. Do you see this 22nd verse? And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365. That's the whole span. He didn't die. God took him, of course. But 65 of those years was lived, and we don't know how. And then the child came when he was 65. Oh, but the other 300, he walked with God. Because the revelation came, and because he knew exactly what was going to take place. Now, I want you to not only look at his birth, and I not only want you to look at his world and his son, but I want you now to look at his faith. Let's go to Hebrews, and we're at Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this is very important for us to get the hold of, because it's Enoch's faith that comes before us now. And we're at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's a mighty little phrase, he should not see death. So he never left the body. There's a man in the glory somewhere tonight. He's still in the body. I don't know if any change took place in his blood or anything like that, but I know that he did not see death. And to die, you must leave the body. That's death. You didn't see death. I don't want to hammer that bit out. The bit I want to hammer is by faith. And you know, I must take time with this, because you see, we're so smart these days. We can read this chapter and you go down and it's verse by verse. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith, it goes on now. And you see, we get so used to say by faith that we begin to think, almost think, that faith is something like a magic wand. Almost an idol we make it. As if we could get this thing, you know, we could do things. Please don't let's do that. Please let's do this. When we're talking about by faith, please let's do it like this. By faith in God. And even that is not enough. But that's enough to start with in the school anyway. No, it's not that either, you see. It's not by faith, and it's not just by faith in God. It's by faith in what God said that he had. You get that? Because I'm afraid you're in danger of missing that just now. Do you know what faith is? Let me tell you what faith is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. by the message of God, by the saying of God. I'll tell you, this countryman, on the day this kid was born, he heard God say, when he shall die, flood will come. And you see, he believed what God said. And it was faith in what God had said that changed his whole walk. And I believe, you know, that through life we believers miss this. I believe we make up our own minds. I believe we lean on our own understanding. I believe we work red tape. I believe we do a lot of things we shouldn't do. But we don't get down and listen and hear God and go the way God tells us. Half time we don't. Your own way. And that's why we're in trouble sometimes. But this wee man heard the word of God. When the child shall die, it shall come to pass. And he believed that it would be as it was told him. And you know, that day he came to the conclusion, if you're going to end this world when this child dies, then there are only three things for me to do in this world. One is to walk with thee. And the other is to trust thee. And the other is to please thee. That's his whole life. It's all summed up just like that. That's all he did, you know. He just walked with God. And he trusted God. You can see his faith here. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated. It wasn't that he worked some sort of a thing that got him taken out of this world. Don't let's read it like that. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and the sentence doesn't end there, and was not found because God translated. God was doing the translating. Now, I want you to get this bit in now. You see, the day that this little child was born, God didn't only come into the bedroom and say, when this child shall die, the flood will come. He said something more. He said that before it comes, I'll translate you. And he believed that bit too. There are two things here. He couldn't have had faith in God translating him, except God had said, I would translate you. Oh yes, he just believed God every time. He believed God about the flood. He believed God about the translation. I'll take you out of it before it comes. So he started walking with God and went through this ungodly crowd around him, trusting God and pleasing God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He's quite a character, isn't he? I told you he was a unique character, and the Holy Ghost only needed a little bit to bring this biography before us. Yes, his faith is very wonderful to me. Now, I want you to get the hold of this. I want you to see his walk now. You see, we go back to the Genesis 1 and we find that he walked with God. And I've sort of hinted to you already, it matters not about what day we live in, how dark it may be, how wicked the enemy may become around us, how the lion may roar, or the boat may be filled with water. I'll tell you that in the midst of all the darkness and diabolical wickedness and sinfulness and ungodliness that may get thicker around us as the days go on, it is possible to walk with God. You know, it's a mighty subject. It almost frightens you when you realize that Daniel walked with God in Babylon. He's the prime minister there, and when you're prime minister, you must get some problems. I can see Jimmy Carter's face changed in the last 12 months. And he came into the chair as a smiling country fella, thinking he would do wonders, and he's like an old man tonight, and he's not going to stick it, and he's going to get through out anyway. Yes, he's got his problems. And Daniel was the prime minister of Babylon. And when all the enemies tried to find something against him, they could find no fault. He could walk with God in Babylon. Yes, he could. And when the Roman Empire took over Palestine, just before Christ was born, it says that Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist, and Elizabeth, who was his mother, that they both walked in all the commandments of God, blameless. Ha ha, yes. There is no excuse. And I'll tell you, we think more. The Lord will come one of these nights and He'll take us home. And I wouldn't mind if it was tonight. It might be. I can see anything to stop it. In fact, I see everything to hurry it on. And if He takes us out, He'll leave a cloud behind. And they'll send them strong delusion, and they'll believe the lie. They'll get round the Antichrist like flies. Oh, but in the midst of all that, the Lord will seal off 144,000, and they will walk with God in the tribulation. Yes! It's mighty. Mighty. Possible. Let's get the possible bit in. Now stop your moaning about your home and about everything else and $1,000 things and the business and all this. You wouldn't think that grace was here at all. And you wouldn't think we had the Lord beside us, and you wouldn't think we had the Holy Ghost within us, and you wouldn't think we had the Word of God at our elbow, and we're not listening to God at all half time. Oh, wonder we can't walk. We listen to the TV. Yes. I can tell you this. It is possible. If you get the whole of this, if we're going to walk with God, after going the same direction as God, won't we? Make sure of that bit. You can't walk with God and go in the other direction, you know. And God will always lead us on. Let me walk with thee, we were singing. God will lead us on to perfection. And will lead us on to holiness. Will lead us on to peace. We'll have to go in God's direction. Ole F. B. Mayer upset the Keswick meeting when he said, yes, we can walk with God. Let me tell you, fellows, it's hard to keep up with him. He takes big steps, and your feet of faith can hardly keep up with him. And there's sometimes we lag behind. Even Peter followed far off. Yes, I'll tell you this. If you're going to walk with God, and you're going to listen in, and you're going to do what He tells you to do, and you're going His way, and you're going to keep up with Him, you'll be a lonely man. You'll not be with the crowd. Don't tell me that you play bold when you're walking with God in the church. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all.
I believe that's just getting as near the world as you can possibly get with sort of being decent at the same time.
I believe that if you're going to walk with God, you'll have to be alone with God. You'll have to shut the door. You'll have to shut it on your kids, and you'll have to shut it on your family, and you'll have to shut it on your TV.
This fellow wasn't in the crowd. There's an ungodly crowd out there. He wasn't in the crowd. He wasn't in any club. Not a bit of him. Not one bit of him. My dear friends, that club that's across the street there, the Masonic, you're not allowed to say the name of Jesus in there. Not allowed. Yet some of the boys who say they love him are stuck in it. How can you be? Now you've got to come out of certain things. I'll tell you this, you'll be a lonely man. I'll tell you once more. You know, if you're going to walk with God, and it is possible, let's get that bit quite clear, it is possible. You'll have to go God's way. You'll have to keep up with Him. You'll be a lonely man. You'll be an unpopular man. You'll do what God wants you to do, and that doesn't please the crowd. Yes, it's a mighty thing, isn't it? It's what you call walking with God. I'll tell you, you're misunderstood. You're criticized. What about it? I suppose they criticized him. But the book records, he walked with God. Let me get the hold of this bit if I can. We're at Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He sort of knew, because God had told him, he believed God would not let him see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that's a mighty little phrase. He pleased God. I went to preach as a young man at the tent hole about 30 years ago. And Jock Troop and I preached together. And old Jock said to me, "I'm not so well today, Willie. I'll just take 2 or 3 minutes and the whole thing's on your shoulders." And I would rather it had been the other way about. And I preached on, he pleased God. Talked about the servant's purpose in life. And the servant of the Lord, his whole purpose in life is just to please God. If you please old ladies, you'll not please God. Just please God. And I went into this in a way I don't want to go into tonight. But there was a man saved. A black man called Sambo. The biggest colored man I've ever seen in my life. I think I would be right in saying he would be about 6'8", and I think he would be 19 stone, and he was the best looking colored man I've ever seen. But Sambo was saved. Now, I didn't come back to preach at the tent hole for another 10 years. They're begging me just at this moment to go to preach again at the New Year services, the big day in Scotland, and I'll have to ask the Lord about that. But when I went back 10 years later, sitting in the front seat and the place was crowded, was Sambo. And you know what that does to you. I'm 10 years older,
and more old-fashioned, and I was just thrilled.
And when I had got through this particular meeting, I went down as quick round the old brass rail of the platform and got him by the hand, and he put his big arms round me and squeezed me, and I said, "Sambo, you know, it rejoices my heart just to see you. You're mine, you know." I said, "You've been going on. What have you learned?" He said, "Willie, I haven't learned anything. I learned something that day. I just learned that day that all I have to do in life is to please the Lord. And I've practiced that up to now." He says, "I get up in the morning to please him." I settled that with him a long time ago. What time would it please you for me to get up in the morning? And I wear what clothes I think pleases him. I'm worried about my friends. I just wear what clothes I think please him. And I eat to please him. What I think pleases him, I eat. And I pray to please him. I have 7 times a day to pray. And I give to please him. And I sacrifice to please him. And I sing to please him. I'll tell you, he had grown a whole lot. I think this is it, isn't it? Just to please him. This is the whole thing. This is what Enoch got the day the kid was born. And the Lord said, "When he shall die, the flood will come. And before it comes, I'll translate you." And you know, here we are tonight, and we know as well as we're sitting that the judgment is coming. You men know this. This whole world won't go on, you know. Oh, the Lord will rise and shut to the door of grace the way that Noah shut the door of the ark. And the judgment will fall in this world. Well, and before it falls, he'll take us home. Translate us. But it doesn't affect us. It doesn't affect us the way it affected Noah. Dr. Campbell Morgan said this, you know. I don't know if you knew Dr. Campbell Morgan. He had a face that you would actually have thought was chiseled out of concrete. He was a hard-looking man. But he was one of the great servants of God. And he said, there was a little girl, she was just 4 and a half, and she went to Sunday school, and she came in through the door into the kitchen where her mother was preparing the tea, and she said, "Mummy, we had a wonderful man in Sunday school today." And Mother was playing it on. She said, "Well, tell me about him. What was his name?" And she came close and leaned on the bench, and her eyes were shining. She said, "His name was Enoch." He said, "That was good for you to remember that now." "And what did he do?" "Well," she said, "he didn't do very much, Mummy. He just took long walks with God. He took big long walks with God." And Mummy said, well, how did it end?" She said, "You know this, one day God and Enoch walked so far that God said, 'You're a long way from home today. Why don't you come home and stay with me?' And he just went home to stay with God."
Are we walking with God? Are we? One morning, Greta Quinn phoned me and said, 3 o'clock in the morning, she said, Willie, my daddy's away to heaven, just now. I said, your daddy hadn't far to go. Your daddy lived on the borderline of that country all his life. He was an old man who walked with God. And he walked home that morning. Great character, Enoch. Oh, may we learn the lesson.